This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, and the name becomes even more pertinent as, you know, we're keeping you in
the loop. Too soon, Figgy.
How was that too soon?
Hey, man. I tried to go in your ear, man. Pause.
That's crazy.
I wasn't trying to say it over the air.
Oh, okay. So whatever he said, he just said to you.
Yeah. So, no, I tell everybody.
No, you don't got to do that.
No, go ahead. I thought it was over the air.
So I was looking on the TV there showing the Stephon Diggs injury, and he was kind of hopping, and it looked like he was doing the gritty.
What are you doing?
And I said,
"Yeah, you should have kept
too
that.
Soon."
You kept that
no, it did. The way he was hot, it looked like he was doing the gritty.
That's crazy.
I thought that was an older video.
I'm trying to remind people of this really heartbreaking news that Stephon Diggs is out for the season with a torn ACL.
Man, I don't want to be sad, man. We're 6-2.
They are 6-2.
Trying to be sad.
They are 6-2. But hey, man, it is. It's important news that everybody's trying to wrap their head around, trying to figure out. Does that mean that Nick Caserio and these Texans will make a move for a wide receiver, someone like an Adam Thielen, or someone like a Deontay Johnson? Those are some of the wide receiver names that I think a lot of people have kind of bandied about that are out there. Will that be something that they go with, or are they willing to go with the guys that they have, a deep wide receiver room? Although, you know, I will admit in saying that, hey man, you got wide receivers at home, right? And in saying that, a lot of that, in fact, depends on is Nico Collins actually going to be ready once he's available to return from IR.
Yeah.
And that is something that I imagine that Nick Caserio and this team has insight into that I am assuming. And I think that will also weigh into whether or not they go and make a move. But regardless of all of that, we got this news primarily because the head coach of this team, D'Amico Ryans, was speaking to the media. This is what he talked about just about 30 minutes ago.
It's the start. I know everybody's asking an update with Diggs. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL, so he'll be out for the year. Really hurts our team to hear that news, and he's been such an important part to our team and just everything that he bought, not only on the field but off the field, the energy, the leader, like the way he worked every single day. He brought a lot to our team, and we have to pick up the slack. A lot of guys have to step up, pick up the slack, but definitely praying for him to have a speedy, successful recovery. It's definitely a blow to us.
Have you been able to talk to him? How's he in his spirit? It's just like kind of how's he mentally right now?
Yeah, speaking to him, it's like anyone would be. It's tough, and tough news to hear, especially how much he pours into it. Right, that's one guy who gave his all to everything that we ever asked him to do, and he's hurting, of course, and we're hurting for him as well.
When you came off the field with him, did you get any sense from him that he knew something was bad?
Yeah, it was still, trying to figure it out. You never make any determinations there on the field. There are a lot of evaluations and, tests and things you have to go through before, you understand, what the injury truly is.
With the guys you have and with Nico, that you'll get him back at some point, do you feel good about what you have that you don't need to augment it, or do you feel like
we like the guys we have, and our guys have been here, they've been working, understand how we do things, what we do, so we're excited to see who steps up next.
Obviously, Mixon has been really good for you since all season, basically. Does he become even more important now that you're down a little bit in the receiver count?
No, it's all the same. Nobody has to do anything extra. Like, Joe still just has to be Joe. Nobody has to do anything extra. It's just everybody has to continue to do their job and do their part to help our team, be successful. And that's just about every guy going out, executing, and playing to the best of their ability. That's all I ever ask of our guys.
Mixon has had some highlight reel type plays this year where people are kind of, their jaws are dropped. Do you ever get jaw dropped over him?
For Mixon, I don't get jaw dropped because I've seen him his entire career and how he's made plays going against him, right, several times, and seeing the player that he is. So he doesn't surprise me. And that's how he is all week. He's on edge all week. He wants the ball every single snap, and I love that mindset that he brings.
With the short turnaround that you have this week, how instinctive or how collaborative is your sports performance department in helping y'all getting this team ready to go back this quick?
Our sports performance group is, they're the key to this week. You know, everything that we do is about recovery and rest, and our team has put together a really great plan for our guys to where they don't have to think about it. All they have to do is just follow the plan that our team has laid out for them, and I'm just so thankful, you know, for their support and their help when it comes to, you know, helping guys recover, helping guys take care of their bodies. Our team is second to none. I've never been around a team that shows as much, you know, love and so much care for our guys. I mean, this is first class, all the top to bottom, first class program that we have, and our guys should be very thankful to be a part of this program.
You've always had confidence in the depth of your wide receiver room, but what have some of the guys like Hutch and Magic done over the past few weeks, just this season, that gives you even more confidence?
Yeah, one thing that sticks out, Hutch, Metch, I mean, all these guys, just from our last game, like just showing guys winning their one-on-one opportunities. Hutch, you know, going to the ground there, making a tough catch. Metchie finding a way to win in an off-schedule moment there in the game and come up with a big catch. That's all we ask, just win your one-on-one and make the plays that that you're supposed to make. If guys do that, like collectively as a team, we'll be just fine.
Henry was estimated to be good yesterday. Is he now ready to roll for Thursday?
Yeah, we'll see where Henry goes, but right now he was able to go through in our walkthrough today and looks pretty good. So hopefully everything continues to keep trending upwards for Henry.
There was some good from Kenyon Green's performance. Did he do enough to maintain his starting spot with the offensive line?
Yeah, Kenyon has done fine. Kenyon, of course, like I said, a couple – yesterday he had some bad plays. A lot of guys had some bad plays, you know, and everybody's asking about Kenyon, and nobody feels, you know, worse about this than Kenyon, right? And nobody, he knows he has to play better. He will play better, and let's go to work. Like, that's what it's about. It's not about everybody trying to figure out, is Kenyon out? And like, let's Kenyon is ready, he'll be ready to roll, and we'll, we won six games with Kenyon. Like, we got to keep going.
With all the obvious challenges of the short week, does the playing surface there come into play at all when it comes to bringing guys back from being hurt or anything? We hear a lot about it. Does it factor in? Is it acknowledged when talking about, like, maybe like Aziz or someone or Jimmy coming back? Does that factor in at all?
Landry, we got to get you on that playing surface to test it out. You got to go play, right? If you're worried about a surface, you're worried about, like, things can happen at any time, any given moment, and on any given field. So that doesn't come into mind, just about, you know, guys being ready to go. Of course, it's tough to get guys, you know, ready on a short week. That's part of the business. We have to go. We don't care what surface we're playing on. We're going to line up and go play to the best of our abilities. And if you worry about things that you can't control, and it's wasted energy. And I don't want guys wasting energy on things they can't control.
I think I know the answer to this question, but last year, not the best game on that surface, and really kind of one of the more resilient moments of the season. Does that reemerge? Do you remember last year, or is that just old news?
Yeah, I remember last year playing up there, but last year has no bearings on the game that we're playing, you know, on Thursday. We have a different team. They have a different team. So it has nothing to do with where we are now. Focused on our team this year and us. It's about us, you know, getting ready to go play our best versus the Jets.
Coach, I know that he's I know how productive Stephon was when he was on the field, but how much has he brought to that wide receiver room as far as being able to teach players like Mitchie and like Hutch and like Tank, you know, throughout OTAs, training camp, and even up to this point to be better wide receivers?
Yeah, Steph has brought more to our team than I can explain to everyone here. Just standing here today is the leadership aspect off the field, not only, as you mentioned, starts with the receivers, but it's with working with him in training camp and seeing him pull the DBs aside and talk to the DBs about covering, right? It's that's where you know you have a special pro, right, who's truly, you know, paying it forward, reaching back, helping the younger guys. And that's how the game is built. That's what the league is all about. Like, it's about pros like Steph who are able to teach younger guys, and those younger guys teaching the next generation of guys. So, man, love everything about Steph and what he brought to our team. We're just praying for him to get back healthy and strong.
Specifically, Tank Dell, what do you see from Tank as far as a guy that can be dangerous, be explosive, and
Tank just has to be Tank. Tank's been an explosive player in college. The U of H, he was explosive. He's been explosive for us. So Tank just has to be Tank. Happy birthday, Tank.
Halfway through the season, you guys have had a number of close finishes. You've been able to pull those games out. Can you talk about the character of your team in those critical moments, especially down the stretch?
Down the stretch in this league, every game can come down to that final possession. And our guys understand that. We understand each week how close games are all around the league. It comes down to one possession, more so than not. So it's about guys being confident, guys being smart in those critical situations, and just executing, right? And our guys are calm in those moments because we've been in a few of those moments, and our guys, they know what it takes to win in those moments. And you know, we've learned from mistakes that we've made in those moments as well, where we weren't on the right side. So it's valuable lessons we've learned. We learn from other teams, but no greater lesson than learning from ourselves in these moments. And you know, I just hope our team continues to play big in the critical moments.
What kind of went into your shirt selection?
Shirt selection. This is important. You know, with the election coming around, I think it's important for everyone to make sure we go out, and voice our right to vote. For me, it's a lot of people sacrifice the right for us to vote. So it's important that everybody's vote is heard, is counted, and heard.
Has that message been relayed to the team just as far as voting?
Yeah, for sure. We've had the NFL came in and we had a meeting about voting, about getting our guys registered and making sure guys just understand the importance of not only the presidential election, but more so the importance of the local elections. And that's, you know, kind of what matters most and what's going on right here in our backyard, making sure we understand, like, who we're voting for, what they stand for, and making sure we have the information in front of us so we're knowledgeable when we're going to the ballots, when we're going to the voting stations. We're knowledgeable about who we're picking, and we're not just, you know, doing it haphazardly, like really being conscious about who we're voting for.
I know there's a lot more football to play, but how do you feel about where your team is at midway through the season, firmly in front in the AFC South?
I'm excited about where our team is. I mean, to be sitting here right now, 6-2, we're excited about where we are. As you mentioned, a lot of ball ahead of us, and we talked about starting fast, and we've started fast. Our team has found a way to win in different fashion, whether it's offense, defense, special teams, different areas of our team stepped up and made plays to help us win games. So I'm excited with where we are and excited with where we're going, and we continue to build the right way.
You talked about playing with confidence earlier, and obviously we've all had Kenyon Green questions over the last few days. How do you go about the confidence check or the swagger check of a player, especially on a short week, to make sure that they themselves is not losing their confidence, losing their swagger, just as a coach, making sure that they still have that?
And for me, I go back and I go to the film, right? It's, you go to the film and you show players, right, what they've done well and the good reps that they've had, and just get back to doing that. Like, Kenyon has had a lot of good reps for us, and I expect him to have some good reps this Thursday. All right. Thank you, guys.
That's D'Amico Ryans, head coach of your Houston Texans, talking today. Of course, the big, big news out of that is that Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for these Houston Texans, out for the remainder of the season with an ACL tear. And as we were talking about before, right, we were talking about the idea of if they did go get a wide receiver, who would they get? Some of the names that popped up, Adam Thielen, Deontay Johnson. Well, one of those names immediately, as soon as we let Coach start talking, was off the board. Deontay Johnson the wide receiver that previously was playing for the Carolina Panthers, he will continue to play this season for the Baltimore Ravens. They went and acquired him for not a high cost, mind you.
Yeah, just a swap, right?
Yeah, swap of picks. So Deontay Johnson in a sixth-round pick goes to Baltimore, and Carolina gets a fifth-round pick. So they move up a single round, a day three swap. Now, I'm sure that's going to really irk people around these parts that felt like that was the guy to go get. In losing Stephon Diggs. Now, the thing that I found interesting about this is Jonathan M. Alexander of the Chronicle reporting that the Texans did not talk to the Panthers at mm-hmm. all in addition before this trade was made, and maybe you go, you know, they did not know. I feel like once that injury happened,
mm-hmm, they knew.
You would imagine they had
to start looking.
I feel like if they were inclined to make a trade, that they would have been maybe probing on what the cost would be for some of the principal guys, if that's someone that they were looking for. Seems like they did not have any contact with the Panthers about the possibility of trading.
Well,
for
you heard D'Amico say, we like our guys. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean anything in terms of they are or not going to make a trade. My thing is, you know, and I've mentioned this a couple times today, not to be beating it into the ground, but a lot of contenders in the AFC are making deals for receivers, trying to get that extra little piece.
There's another one. Baltimore another makes one for Deontay
Baltimore,
Johnson.
Baltimore, Buffalo, Kansas City.
Yeah.
Not saying, just saying.
There's one more that we're missing. Oh, well, I guess you could say Devontae Adams to the Jets. But
and the Steelers are in the market.
Can't call them a contender.
The Steelers are always in the market.
Yeah, but they're 6-2.
They are 6-2.
They've been looking for a receiver for
so if the Steelers make a deal,
last 2 years.
Steelers make a deal. You got the Steelers adding. You already have the Ravens adding, you have the Bills adding, you have the Chiefs adding, and the Texans have lost one.
But again.
We say that forgetting
where they started from.
I was about to say they were loaded, though.
Yeah. A lot of why. I mean, the Noah Brown, who just made a winning play on a team, was a casualty because you had the amount of talent that you did.
Yeah, now, we was talking about John Mitch getting cut because there was too many guys.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Look, that will continue to be the talking point for the rest of this week, all the way up to November 5th when trade deadline day hits. But all of that, all the conversation you can hear right here on Sports Radio 610. Something you can also hear on Sports Radio 610 right about this time is Figgy's mixtape. Fig, what we got?
A word.
Yeah. Yeah.
So earlier I mentioned in Confessions how I had sushi as my first day out meal. And I kind of got a bonus confession, which going to lead to this question. What is something so simple yet you're horrible at?
Huh, okay. We'll talk about
so
that.
So simple, but you're horrible at.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Next.
Pass the aux cord and crank up the volume. Figgy Figs in the driver's seat. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It's time for Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610.
Yes, it is Figgy's Mixtape on Sports Radio 610. It's your man Figgy Fig holding it down on a Taco Tuesday.
Sure is.
I ain't going to do the LeBron thing.
Literally.
Yeah. I ain't going to do the LeBron thing.
Thank you.
Thankfully, it's a Taco Tuesday because we're all trying to make ourselves feel better after finding out that Stephon Diggs is out for the remainder of the season with the ACL tear.
Yeah, I feel like everybody down after that.
Yeah,
now, man.
I mean, yeah, that would do it. that would do it.
Hey, we still next man up. I'm about to sound like
we're 6-2.
There you go.
We're 6-2, Figgy.
That's right.
Hey, next man up. It's next man up.
Okay.
But, yeah, yesterday, so I had my first meal. I told you about that in Confessions. And I went to the sushi spot around the corner.
Since being sick, by the way.
Yeah, since being sick with food poisoning.
Yeah.
And I ordered my sushi and all that stuff. And once they brought me my sushi, the waiter, like, left so fast. Mm-hmm. I didn't even get a chance to ask him for something important that I needed. And I needed a fork.
I think I need
I needed a fork. Yeah. You know why?
You can't use chopsticks?
I can't use chopsticks. So I sat there for a little bit. I thought he was going to come back. He never came back.
Did you give it a shot?
You got to use these right here. These chopsticks right here.
I looked around. I'm like, if I see somebody with a fort, then I'm going to ask for a fort.
Pointer, finger, thumb is what you need to use in that moment.
I looked around. I looked to my left. Everybody over there is using chopsticks. I looked to the right. Everybody using chopsticks. I'm like, damn. I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Let me go for it. And what did I do? I used the chopsticks. I made it work.
All right.
I made it work. Towards the end, my hands started cramping up a little bit, and I started struggling. I had the little soy sauce right there. Mm-hmm. The sushi fell in the soy sauce. I couldn't get it out. So I did the look to the left, to the right, and then I grabbed my hand.
Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You paid for that sushi, right?
I did.
There you go. I did.
But that kind of made me think of something funny that's so simple, like things in life that's so simple but you're horrible at. And I got a list right here, man. Mm-hmm. Some people on Reddit came up with a list, and here are a couple things that are yet so simple, mm-hmm, but people are just horrible at. Number one is estimating how much pasta to cook.
I don't even think that's simple. Like, you've seen those things where they have the little holes and you can put that much pasta. This is for 3 servings.
Oh,
this size is for 2 servings.
I ain't never mess. I still use that. I just end up in a back and forth of pasta and pasta sauce until I somehow match it up.
Yeah.
So if I'm eating spaghetti, I'm eating spaghetti for like a week.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 2, wrapping gifts.
Here.
I cannot wrap a gift.
That's not that bad.
I can do it, but it's ugly.
No, I can't.
It is ugly.
I get the taping everywhere. I'm just like, screw it. Here, get a bag.
Bags are the real MVP. Bag with some wrapping paper, with some bow, paper up
ribbon.
Top. Easy money. That's easy money.
What about this one? Following driving directions or giving directions.
No, I can do that. Yeah, I can.
You're a product of a time. Huh?
Hey, I am. Yeah.
Hey, some people be struggling with that, mm-hmm, man.
Yeah, I hate the people that give really terrible landmarks. You know what I mean? Like, that's usually the sign of somebody like, hey, I'll Google it. Just give me the address. Right. So, all right. So, you're going to see the dog on the corner. What do you mean the dog on the corner?
Is the dog always there?
What? So, there's a fire hydrant, and then you're going to make the second ride after the fire? What are you talking about?
Yeah, a lot of fire hydrants.
Or how about the people? You'd be like, hey, what Whataburger did you go to? You know the one. So when you leave the job, right, you're going to bust a left, and then you're going to make a right.
Right, from which direction?
And then you're going to go to another left.
Yeah.
The one right there across.
They don't tell you how many blocks.
Not a single cross street.
Yeah. I'm like, what street is it on? I don't know, but it's right across the street from that.
You can't miss it.
Yeah, I'm like, come on, man. Parallel parking.
I can actually do that one too.
Me too.
Yeah.
I don't even need a backup cam.
Yeah.
Nah, I just turn around. Old school.
That's, you know what that is? That's a product of actually taking a driver's test, which they don't require anymore.
Are you serious?
No, in Texas, all you gotta do is take a written test.
And it's not like people were great at it when we had the test to begin
with. But back in the day, when you actually took a driving test, you learned.
I actually went to driving school.
I did too. Yeah.
I didn't do all that.
Now there's,
I was naturally
the kids these days, I'm telling you. The kids these days.
You had to go to driving school if you want to get your license early. So mm-hmm, that's the one reason why I went.
Yeah.
Perceiving time.
Huh.
You good at that? Not exact, but you can.
I don't know. That got real metaphysical real quick. Now I'm thinking about a lot of things.
What is time?
And how do we perceive it? How can
time exist?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. Does time exist?
Whistling.
That's just one of those. You either do it or you don't.
I can whistle like a regular whistle, but the ones where people put.
I can't do that one either.
Oh, yeah. The super loud whistle?
I seen an old lady do that one time. I was impressed.
I think I gave y'all one of mine, which is that I can snap with one hand, but I can't snap with my right.
Yeah.
No, but when I saw this old lady whistle, she had a whole bunch of kids. I was like, who is that? I was looking for a strong, tall looking man.
Yeah.
It was an old little lady. I'm like, damn.
That's why she whistled. Get your attention.
That's impressive.
Yeah. What about sleeping?
I can knock out when I need to. I'm very blessed in that way.
Like, I can't sleep how I used to.
It depends on when you caught me. You caught me, 10 years ago, I was a sleeping champ. Now I get up about 3 or 4 times a night.
Yeah, no, I can't sleep how I used to, man. Like, whenever somebody say, oh, did you have a good night's sleep?
Yeah.
I'm like, it was all right. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of normal now.
Yeah.
Doing anything while someone is watching.
Yeah, the added pressure does make some things a little.
Somebody over your shoulder.
It also depends on what.
Oh, absolutely.
Because of our jobs, we're good at certain things in public. And in some,
I actually don't think that this job translates to something. Like,
his mind is just,
how would you, having been in it in years.
Yeah. You know, but how would you feel if Parker came in there to evaluate the show and he just sat right there?
I don't think it would affect me. Would it affect you?
Probably.
Now,
it would probably affect me.
Anybody, please let this be a lesson. Do not ever, 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 let me say ever one more time, look over someone's shoulder while they're working on their laptop, especially writing. I will, like...
Sounds like a personal story here.
I've told bosses in the past, can you please move? Like, I hate when someone, like, you're writing something and someone's looking over your shoulder. Yeah, that, this and that, right? Like,
yeah.
Get the hell out.
I think one of the most terrified things, and shout out to all the teachers out there, mm-hmm. when you got that, I don't know if you call it like an exam or whatever, mm-hmm. but when the principal, assistant principal come in to kind of see how you teaching.
Yeah, the observation.
Oh, man, that's the worst.
Because also, don't the kids just start acting up for no reason?
Yes. Yes, 100%. Yes. Like Jimmy over there started acting the ass. Yeah. And he's like, man, this dude never do nothing. And he want to embarrass me in front of my boss? hula hooping.
Never was good at it.
Can y'all hula hoop?
No, never was very good at that.
I don't remember the last time I tried to hula hoop.
Yeah.
I think last time I recall, which absolutely is over a decade ago, mm-hmm. I was fine. Like, it's not like I was no hula hoop champion, but I can make the hula hoop go.
Maybe three times, and then I'm done. Yeah.
Can y'all double dutch?
I tap out. I tap out like Anthony Richardson.
Can you jump rope, double dutch?
Now, that I used to be able to do because I used to box as a kid, so I'm really good on jump rope. Used to be, not anymore.
I honestly cannot remember. If I have double dutched, it is literally been like 20 years.
Fifth grade.
It's literally been that long. So I can't even, I'm just going to say no and assume that I can't no more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about making rice?
Oh, I got this.
Some people can't make rice.
All right, here's you want the secret?
Rice cooker.
Well, yes. That's the easy one. Okay, put the rice in the pan. 1/2 inch of water over the rice. People put too much water or too little water. 1/2 inch of water over the rice. Try it at home. Thank me later. It's perfect.
What about making hard-boiled eggs?
I got this one for you.
Okay, so we just got OG's tips?
I got my cookbook open. Get the water boiling first. Let the eggs in softly, like with a spoon or something.
So they don't crack.
So they don't crack.
And then have all your eggs drip out.
You don't just throw them over the shoulder?
No, 12 minutes.
Little sky hook?
Yeah. Once the water starts boiling, once the water starts boiling, let them in softly with a spoon, 12 minutes. Perfect hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
What about this? Operating the manual can opener.
Yeah, that's easy money.
Yeah,
is that difficult? That's interesting.
A lot of people can't do it.
Now, I will say that, you know, those are the types of things that, you know, you don't think about, like, if some people have, like, arthritis and those types of things that make it a little tough to mm-hmm. do those things.
Those things always break, too.
Why isn't there, there's very few of the manual can openers that you're like, oh, yeah, this is sturdy.
It's less, yeah.
It's always just, like, the one that's full metal, mm-hmm. that's, like, real wiry that you wouldn't think is a heavy duty, and it's just a hoss.
Yeah, this one we talked about eating with chopsticks.
That's just practice.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep doing. I felt successful though after mm-hmm. I did that. Shuffling cards.
Enough, not like a champ, but well enough.
Can you do the bridge?
Yeah, man.
Oh, the shuffle the, going the back down.
Yeah. All right. Playing hacky sack.
Never tried it. It seemed too hippie for me.
I can't actually play hacky sack.
Yeah.
Like I can make it look like if I was in a hacky sack commercial where I only need to do 15 seconds of looking like I could play hacky sack.
You can pull it off?
But I'm not actually a hacky sack.
Right in the ampersand.
The N sign. I never really tried it that much. Yeah, I don't think I can.
Yeah. I just spell out A-N-D.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Do I not write the ampersand that much?
I do the easy one. The
little
kinda,
plus?
Yeah, the little plus that's connected.
Yeah, I do a lazy little scribble with a line in the middle.
Yeah.
When someone says rolling my R's.
Taquerias arandas.
Yeah, I can. Trust me.
Yeah.
What about this one? Can't tie a balloon after blowing it up.
Use two fingers on one side.
It just depends. All right, calm down. It depends. Sometimes I can, sometimes I can't.
Tying a tie.
Yeah, that one I got on lock.
Me too. And I still tie ties for my sons. They're in their 30s.
Sounds like somebody did not do enough.
I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
That's all on you, buddy.
I keep trying.
Nah.
I got it. Can you do this?
Almighty.
I just that's embarrassing, man.
It is.
You let them out the house, they embarrassing y'all, man.
They're grown adults with kids.
Exactly. Yeah. And they walking around not knowing how to tie a tie. And people are going to look at you like, oh, John didn't teach them how
Dad,
to
tie. Dad, can you tie this?
Yeah, I just learned how to tie a tie, too, man. Like, I went a long time without tying a tie. I just learned.
Got to do that double Windsor. Don't do that half Windsor.
Yeah, all right. This was the last one on that list. Someone said drinking out of a glass. 9 times out of 10, I slam my cup into my teeth or pour the drink on myself.
That's wild.
What?
You can't drink out of a glass?
I have real sympathy. Real sympathy. I mean, they might have motor skill impairment type
things.
Sippy
cup.
Yeah, that's real unfortunate because you don't look crazy half the time. Like, I never thought about it.
How do you go on a date?
Yeah, you're just real self-conscious. Actually, can I get,
a straw?
Yeah, let me get a Topo Chico in
can
the bottle.
Can I get a straw?
Yeah, let me get that in the bottle, please.
Hey, just imagine having a glass of wine. Hey, can I get a straw? Yeah, but that's all I got, man. I feel super successful using chopsticks, man.
Yeah, that's quite the accomplishment. It's just practice.
Yeah. I ain't gonna lie, I felt the heat too, man. Mm-hmm. I looked around, I'm like, I don't see nobody with a fork.
Pressure's on.
Yeah, I'm like, you know what? Everybody's just in there chilling in their own little world. I'm like, man, ain't nobody gonna pay attention to me. Let me try this.
Shout out to the 281. There's a YouTube video on how to tie a tie. There's a YouTube video on most of those things. I think that's the beauty.
Everything.
That's the beauty of this. Like, just hit a quick Google, see if you could figure that out.
Now, they may well know now, but they didn't learn it from me.
Somebody said, when it comes to drinking out of a cup, I'm ambidextrous. I might be ready to drink on an NBA bench. I like what you're doing there. NBA level water drinking. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. We're coming up next. We'll get ready to hand it off to our fellas, Clint and Ron of The Drive. But before we get there, let's get back to college football on a Tuesday. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Figgy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Yeah, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and Reginald Atitula hanging out with you on a Tuesday. Appreciation to our guy Brandon Scott hanging out with us in the 11 o'clock hour. And, of course, Fig for yet another fantastic mixtape. But, of course, the news on the day, and I wish it was a lot happier. I wish I could deliver you happier news, but we are Houston sports leaders, so we give you the news that you need to hear, even if it's not always the ones that you want to hear. And for today, that is that Stephon Diggs, wide receiver for the Texans, will miss the rest of the season. He's out for the season with an ACL tear that he sustained. And of course, that's Colts game. So that there is a lot of conversation that ripples off of that will continue in to the Drive in Area 45 tonight right here on Sports Radio 610. And we're definitely going to give you all of that when you need it.
And they're hot on it.
They sure are. In fact, if you are somebody that wants to see the Texans make a trade, you have an ally, at least one ally on the Drive. And they're going to talk you through all of that. When we hand it off. But it is a Tuesday, and I do want to make sure we love us our football on the show, particularly the college football. So I do want to do a little college football on a Tuesday because D'Amico Ryan's kind of shifted the way that our day worked today. So let's go ahead and dig into that. And I would like to begin by talking about the Texas A&M Aggies. Well, the best team or the best record in SEC play. Mm-hmm. They are in the top 25. They're in a really good spot. Look at my guy, T. Mill.
Out of the woodwork. As soon as you mentioned the Aggies.
He appeared.
Yes, he appeared.
I'm pretty sure I heard BTHO out of nowhere. I don't know how that happened.
Somebody say Aggies?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, T. Mill. I'd be forgetting he's an Aggie until he makes it abundantly clear, though. Yeah,
it's hard
right.
to forget.
He sure is. But A&M coach Mike Elko, you might remember that yesterday we were talking about the idea that after they had a big win against LSU, Mike Elko cut a little bit of a promo. Talking about this is a real program. It's not fake. It's not a politician running that program. Mm-hmm. Talking fast, BSing everybody. This is a real program. And for all the recruits out there, this is a real place. And if you want to be really good at football, this is the real good place to be.
If you don't want your head coach all up in your videos, doing all that, come to Death Row.
Death Row, that's right. That's Mike Elko. And when it came to that in particular that you're referencing, he was talking about Sean Combs. Mm-hmm. And when it came to this particular quote from Elko, a lot of people thought, oh, that's shade at Jimbo Fisher.
Because it was.
Well, according to Mike Elko, It was not. Yeah. He says that, and, you know, he said nothing but positive things about Coach Fisher. And I continue to quote, "I'm the head coach at A&M because of Coach Fisher. I appreciate who he is, everything that he's done. And for anybody in the media to think that that was what I was doing post-LSU is asinine."
I don't know about asinine.
Asinine, John Lopez.
He literally used the words fast talking. If this, I'm not a fast talking. Well, yeah, who talks fast?
That's a common statement.
Yeah, is he the only fast talking?
Well, like he literally talks fast, yeah. But I think he meant fast talking in the idea of swindling folks, which also fits with Jimbo Fisher. But
could Fish fit Brian Kelly?
That was one of the things I thought when it came to that particular situation. But he also said that, you know, not about any particular coach, which, all right, man. Either way.
He was caught up in the moment.
Caught up in the moment, cutting a promo, 5-0 starting SEC play with a whole bunch of recruits there as well.
Yeah, man. This is what I saw yesterday. So if you don't think winning a nationally televised game matters against a team like LSU with the stakes so high, both teams ranked, the Aggies had 47 recruits officially visiting for the LSU game, and a bunch of others that were unofficial. Within 2 days, they had 3 4-star players commit, and who knows if they're going to stick, but also who knows if there's any other commitments. It matters when you get that big nationally televised game with 108,000 people there.
Yeah, so A&M in a pretty good spot to try and secure themselves a spot in the in the college football playoff, the 12 teams. I'm not going to lie. I had to go and do a little reading because one of the things I realized yesterday is whenever the 12-team playoff comes up, in my brain, it's just that chimp with the symbols.
With the symbols?
Because I don't know why. My brain refuses to, like, accept the machinations of the 12-team playoff. And maybe over time, it'll become kind of commonplace.
Look at the brackets. That's what gives you a good feel for it.
But, I mean, there is a possibility, right? The ACC is sitting in a really unique territory where they have 4 undefeateds right now in conference play. And only, I think, only one pair of them remains to be play if going forward. And so there's a possibility that if things shake out in a particular way, that you might have an ACC team on the outside of the college football playoff while having won their way through conference. And this is a vestige, and this is something that pops up because of the super conferences now where it's possible to have multiple teams go undefeated and not face each other.
Let's talk about the ACC first, but there's something else that's tied in with that. I mean, everybody's talking about Clemson and Miami, of course. Don't look now, but Pitt is undefeated.
As is SMU.
Pitt is going to SMU. So the winner of that game, let's say it's Pitt, all of a sudden Clemson and Miami, you know, the Pitt only has to play Clemson at home. They don't have to play Miami. So that's where that gets a little dicey. And I also saw something last night. There's like a legit chance that Georgia, you know, if you're trusting your eyes, you know, probably the best team in the SEC.
Oh, no, I wouldn't say that.
They beat Texas.
They definitely have the beef to still play at that level.
They came back and almost beat Alabama. Okay, I mean, it's opinion.
But yeah,
it's opinion.
I think
but they're in the
definitely
mix.
Up there, for sure.
Yeah, it's not yours, it's mine.
It's my opinion.
Okay, but either way, there's a very real possibility. Certainly they're the highest ranked. But there's a real...
I did not ask.
They're not the highest ranked. Well, you might want to look at the AP rankings. But anyway, where they are left out. Like if all of a sudden LSU goes to Alabama, if LSU beats Alabama, all of a sudden there's a path where Georgia is left out because A&M and Texas all of a sudden.
Like I said, monkey playing symbols. My head is just up here.
Crazy.
Crash.
Crazy.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Some other things that are happening in college football. Locally, Rice made a firing in the middle of a season, something that I did not anticipate happening. Mike Bloomgren was fired at 2-6 Rice Owls. Mike Bloomgren gets his walk-in papers in the midst of his 7th season. And this was like really odd to see because, I mean, he has not had a particularly great record, 24-52 over his time at Rice. But also, there is something to be asked for. What is the expectation at Rice? Like, he has had...
he's taken them to 2 bowl games.
Yeah, he's taken them to 2 bowl games. Now, mind you, in 2022, that bowl game, they were 5 wins, and they were able to get in the bowl game just off of an exemption because there was not enough bowl-eligible teams.
Yeah.
But they had 6 wins last season. This year, 2 wins thus far, and they just moved into the American. And I can't really go back and find... I mean, you had a couple of 8-5 win teams under David Bailiff, the previous head coach.
Mm-hmm.
About a decade ago, but this is, I mean, 2, 4, 5 win seasons is kind of where Rice usually is, but they have an expectation of getting better. I just find it interesting that they let him go this early into the season.
It is interesting. I also think, I mean, if Rice really wants to, you know, get serious about things, because this is what a serious football team, ambitious football team does. 2-6 midseason, we can do better, we're embarrassed. Whatever. I mean, Rice, all due respect, this is kind of what they've been for decades. You know,
yeah,
half a century.
And some of that is institutionally, right? Like they have the right space to be, as our guy Ron gives us the first down movements happening.
Was that what that was?
Yeah,
was
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. He wanted to make sure he didn't get fined off of the finger guns.
I'll be seeing Stephon Diggs do that.
Yeah, that's what's happening there. Yeah.
But if they really want to get serious.
But if they want to get serious, you got to
start. It's NIL.
You got to start putting money into the program in general. Like that's a school that has a big endowment, but they're worried about education.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that that's wrong, but it seems like there's also expectations of the football program in a way that I don't know that you have the investment in the football program to back up those particular expectations. Some other things in college football, there's a record that could be in jeopardy, where Oregon's quarterback Daniel Gabriel just 12 touchdowns away from Case Keenum's 155 touchdown
record. Kind of snuck up on you, didn't it?
It happened real quick. Now, I don't know. Even if he breaks it, I will somehow find a way to claim Case Keenum is still that guy as having done it in one program. However, right, I appreciate that nod over there. I'm going to find a way to hang to keep it local. But Dylan Gabriel close with a number
12
one Oregon
He'll
team.
Get 12.
He has to.
Right? He'll get 12 to pass
without injury.
Yeah.
I mean, barring injury.
They're rolling, too. Oregon's.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is a great
arguably
Oregon
top team in the country. They're rolling.
155 touchdown passes for Case Keenum in his career.
He's still my champ.
Hey, man. They were throwing leather off of it, Chief. I mean, that was back when they were two. They were putting clocks on them jokers. Can you run a play every 6-7 seconds?
Yeah.
Can you get to 80 offensive plays in a game? I mean, that was one of them. Boy, that was a monstrous. And when you were good, when you were bad, it was a terrible
approach.
Yeah, it wasn't
so monstrous. Yeah.
But it, you know, it leveled the playing field. If you were playing uphill, you know, a smaller, quicker team that was had a system and was really good, could compete with the bigger, more physical teams. And now I think football overall is catching up to all of it. Everything's quicker and spacing. But boy, back then that was. I mean, you talk about what they were doing at U of H with him, Leach and them boys was doing at Hal Mummy were doing at Kentucky.
Yep.
Before they went their ways, man. Yeah, it was fun to watch, man. A lot of dudes threw for a lot of yards, and then you never heard of them again.
That's right.
Yeah.
You never heard from them again. A lot of great quarterback play, but boy, you ain't 6'4", 200. You can't play in the league.
One more thing before we move on, talk to our fellas all the way in. Seventh-year quarterback from Michigan, Jack Tuttle, announced his retirement after his fifth concussion. This is the second one in like a week. Mm-hmm. As you'll remember, who just retired a second ago? Goodness gracious, the name law left me as soon as I was about to talk about
it. It was not Tua.
No, it was not Tua. Tua still got the heart in the game. He said he'll go out on his shield, it seems like. But yeah, well, let's welcome in our guys on the drive. Clint, Ron, fellas, how y'all living?
Well, it should be a day.
It's a day.
It is a day. It
has been a day as I heard you all break it in my drive in. I don't think we're shocked or surprised by it, but it certainly now is a, all right, this is where the Texans are.
Yeah.
And now decisions need to be made on what they're going to do. Because Stephon Diggs, a huge loss. Huge, huge loss for this team, especially with Nico Collins already injured and in the receiving core and the offense. The offense being the issue right now for the team that you're not as comfortable with losing Stephon Diggs certainly can't help that.
Yeah, but one of the things that I was thinking about, because I know you guys are going to get into all the nuances of it, it was kind of interesting because D'Amico was asked about the passion that he seems to bring. And I realized that in talking about it, we're talking about numbers and production. How much for you guys are you trying to replace or going to miss the seeming passion that Stephon Diggs brought to this team?
Okay. I mean, this team starting at the top with D'Amico, CJ Wheel, I think, you know, some of the veterans on the defensive side of the football, that Aziz is one of them. You know, I don't think passion is a problem is where I'm going with it. Now, maybe there is a conversation to have offensively beyond CJ and Nico and Joe. I mean, those three guys now, I think that's more than enough to carry the load of having enough juice. To go 18 weeks and then get to the playoffs. But I'm not worried about that impact of Diggs being gone.
I'm torn. You were listening, Ron, and I keep going back and forth. I'm not trying to waffle. I'm just like, everybody else is going out and getting something to get over the top. The Ravens did it today.
Oh, you're torn. Where are you at, Reggie?
Chiefs did it.
Chiefs did it. Bills did it.
You think Pat? I think you stand pat. Like, I understand. You're operating from a place of, you know, wealth when it comes to wide receiver. And I understand we could talk about top end. But you have so many guys that it seems like this team values and wants to go ahead and be able to use. I think that you're comparing those teams that went out and got guys. Those teams did not have the amount of wide receivers that you feel confident in playing like this Texas team does. But I'm certain that we're going to hear from Ron and Clint on how they feel with the Texans need to move after we learned that Stephon Diggs indeed lost to an ACL for the remainder of the season. Fellas, we're going to give y'all the maximum room to get out here and let us know what y'all on right here on the drive. But right now, right now, it's time for these fellas to take over. You're listening to the KLT HD2 and Odyssey Sports Station. And right now, the drive is live.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.